It's good. It's good to see a family that loves each other, no matter what. Folks, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for the scriptures, and Father, we pray that you might just enlighten us through your word, through your spirit, so that we might have a better understanding how we ought to love one another. And we do pray these things for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. You know, the most important command is in Scripture is to love one another, to love God. When Jesus was asked the greatest commandment, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind and soul, and love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The first four commandments are about loving God, and the last six commandments that Neville read to us are about loving one another. Loving one another is the most indispensable quality, the most essential trait on the Christian's life. It's the first fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. It's the greatest of the graces. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. We can't love God if we're not loving each other. Without love, nothing else matters. I just love what the Apostle Paul says. Without love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. There's another version that says, without love, I'm a squeaky gate. Last week we looked at the genuine Christian as one who lives a life of obedience to the Word of God. And this morning we're going to be looking at the genuine Christian is one who lives a life of love to their brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, as we've been going through 1 John, we keep on going through the same themes of love, of obedience and truth. And why do we keep on going through the same themes? Because it's so important. Do you remember as parents, and when your child was about to learn to cross the road, you would tell them, now be careful, look to the left, look to the right. You would tell them again, wouldn't you? You would tell them again. You would tell them that you told them. And then you would tell them again. Because it's so important for their safety. And I think in a similar way, that's what John is doing. It's so important that he keeps on coming back to these themes of love, obedience and truth. Today, love is nearly always seen in the context of sex or friendship. Very rarely in terms of sacrifice and service for others. The authenticity of your faith in Jesus is seen in your love for one another. Do you remember what Jesus says? He said, by this, love one another as I have loved you. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. So the first thing I want to say from this passage is loving one another certifies who we are. Why don't we read these words together? For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. So loving one another certifies that we are born again, that we have passed from death to life. It certifies that we walk in the light, that we are a child of God. We all know about certificates. You've probably got a certificate for something. Peter's got a certificate for piano playing. He's probably got a couple of those on his wall. Most people who are involved in children's ministry have a certificate called Safe Ministry. Yeah. Those people who are ministers and myself, we have a certificate of a degree or BTH or whatever. My most important certificate, or the one I cherish the most, is that I got a certificate for being a touch footy ref. I have. But our certificate to show that we are followers of Jesus is our love for one another. People who say they are Christian but hate a brother or a sister, John told us last week, they are fake. They are counterfeit. There's no such thing as loveless Christianity. It's like having a car without wheels. It's going to go nowhere. But how can we love the unlovely? How can we love those people, you know, who we find it's just so hard to love? Well, folks, it's God's supernatural work in our lives. And it's only when we've been moved by the love of Jesus in our own lives can we remotely love one another and our church as Christ would want. Folks, we've said this before, church is not an organisation. It's a family. And we are brothers and sisters in Christ, in God's family. And to love one another means God's glory is at stake. You know, if we have animosity, if we have hatred, if we have bitterness, antagonism or bad blood with one of our brothers or sisters, folks, we can't continue that way. We need to stop it. We need to repent of it because it's the worst advertisement for our God of love. What is the criticism the non-Christian has about the Christian? That we are hypocrites, aren't we? They often say we are hypocrites. And folks, it's true. If we are bitter, if we're carrying on like fruitcakes and not loving each other, then it is an awful sign that we are Christians. You know, sure, we can get hurt by others, by other people's insensitivity, and yet, sure, we can be bitter for a time, but like we talked about last week, we can't continue in that sin. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit will challenge our behaviour. If we continue to treat each other badly, we are telling lies about God. Love is a matter of life and death. It's our spiritual DNA, if you want. Secondly, loving one another can be challenging or even dangerous. John says there, do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. You see, some people will be drawn by our love for one another. They will love that. But other people will hate us. Some people will be moved by our peace and our joy. Other people will be jealous and resent it. And Cain and Abel is a case in point. Both boys were brought up in the same family. Both knew the goodness of God. Both had an understanding that they ought to be thankful to God for his grace. Both recognise that sacrificing to God was a part of worship. Yet, Abel's sacrifice is accepted and Cain's is rejected. Abel showed faith and a love for God. Obviously, Cain didn't. And so out of jealousy and hatred and failure to repent, Cain murdered Abel. The first baby born was a murderer. The second baby born was the victim. What a great start for humanity, huh? Instead of getting rid of his sin, Cain got rid of his own brother. It's a little bit like if you don't like what you see in the mirror, you smash the mirror, you know? Cain felt guilty and was challenged when he saw Abel's faith and thankfulness. Folks, but can we be like Cain? You may be thinking, Tony, come on. No, none of us are murderers here, are we? Mm-hmm. But folks, we can murder people's reputations, can't we? Sometimes we can avoid another person. Sometimes we can quietly criticise that other person, gossip about that other person. When we're talking about them, we can sometimes draw attention to their bad points. We can be envious. We can be jealous. And hatred is really a desire to get rid of someone. You see, we can hate someone because they show up our sinfulness, or we can be hated because we are being righteous. Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. So loving one another can be dangerous, can be challenging. Loving one another is also costly. In verse 16, this is how we know that what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. You know, I think sometimes we can confuse niceness to love. There's nothing wrong with niceness. We need more niceness. But niceness can hide the disease of lovelessness. It can hide the inaction of really loving each other. It can hide the inaction of self-sacrifice. And I take it what John is saying there, loving one another is going to be costly. It may cost our time. It certainly will cost our money. If we are to be serious in our Christian faith, if we are going to help those in need, if we are going to help the cause of the gospel. Jesus is saying if there are people in need and we do nothing to help, how can we claim to be children of God? You know, people never forget when someone has been generous to them. Do you remember the last time someone has been generous to you? You remember it, don't you? Way back when I was about 21, I remember my uncle. He went out of his way and he gave me enough money, or not gave me, he lent me enough money for a deposit on a house. And I always remember that. I always think, man, in some ways I feel indebted to him, even though I paid him back and all that sort of thing. You know, when we were at college, our church gave us gifts. And again, I'm so thankful that. In ministry, there are various people who offered their house on holidays. I haven't had one from here yet. But, folks, you remember those generous acts. And, folks, can I say our tithes, your giving, your giving towards church projects, helping people in need, putting money aside for the gospel, won't go unnoticed by God. The church family doesn't finish after this service at 11:15, folks. That's why it's so important that we do meet together at morning tea. And that's where you find out people's needs. Loving one another might mean praying for that person. It might be being generous. It might be giving your time. When we are sacrificial in our giving, it's not just imitating Christ's life, love, it's participating in Christ's love. I know sometimes Christians say, oh yeah, everything I have is God's anyway. But do we really believe that? When we are sacrificial, it is what the Bible calls agape love. And we're going to look at that next week in more detail. But, you know, we can talk about love, we can understand love, we can teach about love and never practice it. And I think John is saying we need to talk less and do more. The Christian life is not, it is really dying to oneself for the sake of Christ, as Jesus did. The Christian life is not about me. It's not about my wants. It's not about my desires. It's what's best for the kingdom of God. And if we're going to be fair dinkum in loving one another, it will cost us our time. It will be sacrificial. It may cost us our money. It might even cost us what we want, our desires. When we talk about church pews, or don't mention the pews, all right? We're not going to mention the pews. When we talk about music, when we talk about liturgy, whatever. But folks, they, in some ways they are immaterial. It shouldn't be what I like, it should be what's best for the growing of the kingdom of God. The sacrifice that Christ made on the cross cost him his life. But wow, the benefits are immeasurable. We just confessed our sins and we recognise that we are forgiven. And we have that great hope of heaven. And so loving one another is not only, I guess, costly, but it's also comforting. Why don't we read these words together from John? And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. You see, belief and love go together. You can't believe if you don't love. And you can't love like the way God wants us if you don't believe in him. And you know what? Sometimes some Christians are all about belief. You know, all they want is doctrine. Let's have another Bible study. Let's learn this, that and the other. Let's learn about predestination. And sometimes they pontificate about those things. But other Christians are all about loving actions. Let's help the needy. Let's help the poor. Let's give them a lift. And folks, all those things are good in themselves. But they need to go together. Belief and love go together. Our love for one another is fueled by our belief in Christ and his big heart for us, in his love for us. You know, as what happened with Cain, there will be days when we are discouraged, when the evil one will say or whisper in your ear, failed again. And you call yourself a Christian. Friends, the devil wants to rob us of joy and peace by casting doubts in our lives, by tempting us to be selfish and to think just for ourselves. But I take it if we seek to be obedient to the word of God, we will show the fruit of the Spirit. We will know God's presence, the Holy Spirit indwelling in us as he answers our prayers. Loving one another is comforting because it's what Jesus does for us, and it's because God, that's what he desires of us. So what's love got to do with it? Someone should write a song about that. Today, love for oneself is a priority. But John's not talking about loving ourselves. He's talking about our love for God will show itself in loving each other. You know, some years ago, there was a book written by Gary Chapman, and it was called The Five Love Languages. Has anyone ever heard of that? And I always used to use the... for all the wedding people, people who got married, who were getting married, and we would go through this book. And Gary Chapman talks about these five love languages, and the first one is words. Sometimes people need to hear those words, I love you. Sometimes people need to hear those words of encouragement, thank you, you're doing a great job. And when people hear words, some people feel they are loved. For other people is, don't tell me you love me, show me you love me. You know, it's acts of service. You know, take the garbage bin out if you love me. And so we can show love in our words, we can show love in our acts of service, we can show love with our touch. I mean, we've got to be very careful these days. But certainly in a husband and wife context, you know, the hug, the kiss, the embrace are signs of love. And I guess even the handshake. Not that you'd shake hands with your wife or but I'm talking about blokes when they meet together. Spending time is another love language. Instead of doing the golf day, why not spend it with the grandkids or the kids? And sometimes they're in a husband and wife relationship, if there is no time for each other, both of them don't feel loved. And the other one is, the fifth one is gifts, receiving gifts. And sometimes people have been generous to them, they feel loved. So folks, they are just a couple of ways where we can show love practically, words of encouragement, acts of service, the touch, the spending time with each other, and being generous with our gifts. John says, this is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. It's a big call, isn't it? It is a big, big call. But regardless of how we show love to one another, it will be costly. So what is John saying? He's saying our love for each other certifies that we are followers of Jesus. It's challenging because loving one another, people may hate us because of that, because of their guilt that they might feel. It's a love that is costly, to the point of sacrificing our own needs, our own desires. But it is comforting to know that our love driven by faith in Christ will produce assurance and a real presence as the Holy Spirit lives in us. Amen. Let me pray. Our Lord Jesus, again we just want to thank you that through your death and resurrection you have brought upon us the gift of forgiveness, that we are your children, that we have your presence and your spirit, and that you have in mind for us in the future to be with you for all eternity. Lord, we greatly desire that. And Lord, we want to thank you that despite who we are, you love us and you continually forgive us unconditionally. And for that, we are eternally grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.